Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Pray, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we ask the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to minister to us and teach us the word of truth, and may you help us to have faith and have more understanding of the truth regarding the ministry of helps. Father, may you also speak to those who listen to this teaching through the CD or through internet, Father. Lord, we bless all of them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Today, I would like to talk about one important issue is the ministry of helps. And every time I read this or prepare this lesson, I feel that this is one of the most important lessons in the church. In fact, God spoke to me when I prepared this lesson that I want your church to be like that. He said to me that I want every ministry in the church, every ministry, worship, sound system, Sunday school, children program, ushering, greeter, media, every ministry. This is what he spoke to me many times last Sunday, in fact, and while I was reading the sermon last night. I want all of you to do the best, excel to the best, to the King of all kings, that is me. And when people come to your church, either non-believers or believers, they will see the big difference among you, inside your church. They will see the excellency, the devotion that you have for your God. And they cannot help except joining you. So God is speaking that everything the best, pour out your energy, your devotion, to do everything the best you can. If you're going to do ushering ministry, do the best. If you're going to do worship ministry, do as if you're standing before you. One day God was speaking to me this. You remember the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The Bible says that, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. God one day spoke to me like this. Son, do you know what it means when say that He exists? It means a lot of time we verbally say and pray and talk, oh Father, God, that God, this God, that. But deep in our spirit, we don't really mean it. But God said that if God really sit on the throne up there right now, exists in our presence right now, here, and you walk into His presence, and you say to Him, Father, my Father, and really mean it, that you meet Him face to face personally, that He exists there in front of you, in your house or in your church or whatever, I wonder what you're going to do. I tell you, if I meet Him, and it's different between kind of talking to Pastor Da, but don't see her, and maybe she's sitting here, Da, how are you, Da? How are you doing? But it's different from when I see her eyes, and I know by faith, I may not see her, but by faith, I know she exists here. She's sitting here, and I was speaking to her, even though I don't see her, but I believe she is here. Oh, I tell you, it's different. God said to me, if my people can do that you are treating God or relating to God as if He is really there. You know what you're going to do? You're going to do the best you can. You don't want God to make a little bit of eyes toward you and say, what are you doing here? Why you are so sloppy? Why you take my kingdom for granted? Why do you do like this? You don't honor me. You know what I mean? If God is there, you honor him. Yes, I'm going to dress the best. I'm going to comb my hair the best. I will do the best for you, God. You are the king of all kings. I need to treat my kings. Is my king, is that right? No. So God speak to our church prophetically last weekend. My people, do everything the best and I will bring people to this church. Amen. Everything, driving the van, the best. Doing anything the best you can. As if you do to the king who exists there and show up there in front of you all the time. You have this kind of faith that God is there with you everywhere you go, and you do in front of him everywhere you do, everywhere you go, and you do anything. Amen. So this is introduction into the lesson that the ministry of helps. If you go back to listen to the past CDs and the previous lessons, you remember that ministry of helps is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 28 that they are anointed by God to assist or to help the fivefold ministry gift, the pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and apostle, to fulfill the vision that God gives to that leadership or to the man. The Bible always uses the word the man of God, mean the leadership of that group, the man of God. God called Elijah the man of God. So any ministry in the church that help the pastor, like me, to fulfill the vision of that congregation or that ministry, all of them are the ministry of helps. You understand what I mean? In fact, last Sunday when Pastor Dick Mills were ministering with the word of God, I was so convinced and convicted in my heart that I need to have more time to spend in prayer and the Word of God. I need to be released from menial, little things in the church on Sunday and on other days. I need to have more time with the Word of God. So you understand what I'm talking about when you see Pastor Dick Mill quote all the scripture and can teach under anointing. I mean, he told me on the way to lunch last Sunday, I spend time a lot in the Word. I have 6,000 books in my library. And you know, his eyes still sharp, his ears still sharp. You know why? I think he is in the Word all the time. Amen. That's why his health is so strong at 84 years, almost 85 years old. So the apostle, prophet, evangelist need to really be in the Word so that on Sunday when he get up, he's ready to minister in the Word and in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I really see now why God put the ministry of helps in the church. There is one comment that people like to say, but not in our church. I know we don't say like this in our church. People always say like this. Christian always say that, oh, many first-time visitors do not return because the pastor did not preach very well, because the message is boring, because he didn't do the good job. And I want to say that, in fact, that kind of comment is totally off. Okay? In one sense. Because in fact, even the message may not be that great, but there are many other factors that make people come back. Not just the message. Is that right? Okay. First of all, we need to establish our calling first. Our calling is to do good works. And what is good work? Good work is to bring as many souls as we can into the kingdom of God. Is that right? So in other words, we want to see more and more non-believers come to visit our church, get saved, join the church, grow, or even backslider or members of other church that don't grow and they're looking for a good, better church. They come and they join in and stay in and grow and become disciples. So our focus on Sunday is not the chair, is not the carpet, is not the fan or the color on the wall. The focus of the ministry, the focus of good work is souls. We want soul to come back. We want soul to join in. It's not about money even. You know, actually, I don't care much about money. I care about souls. I want to see souls come back. Last Sunday, when I did not see the a couple, Filipino couple that came 2 Sundays ago, my heart just poured out to them and said, where are they? Did anyone call them? Did anyone invite them? Did anyone pick them up? My heart still think about those guests. It's so God loves people. That's why Pastor Cesar read that scripture about, I share with you not only the gospel, but my life with you. It's about loving people. Amen. So when we have the service, not only the Christian have a good time, touched by the Holy Spirit, listen to nice word, but also remember that our goal is to get the visitors come back. But okay, you think you go. Sometime I want to encourage you. You put your shoes, your feet in the shoes of the visitors some Sunday, okay? I want to encourage you. This coming Sunday, I did it last Sunday, actually. I did it last Sunday. I walk into the church as if I'm Pastor Dick Mills. I put myself in his shoes. I walk in and I watch. When you drive into the parking lot, when you get out of the car, when you go to the door, when you look at everything in the house, how would you feel? I believe me, a lot of time, even the pastor preached so well, those visitors may not want to come back. Because maybe typo on the PowerPoint. Maybe we keep singing, but the song doesn't come up. And they say, oh, how can they take care of me? Because they cannot even take care of this. Or like last Sunday, I put myself in Sean's shoe, Sean and Stacy. When I was standing last Sunday, look around. I was thinking, if I'm a guest here today, how I feel. I saw Sean come in and sit over there. And I was thinking right away, if everyone stand up and singing, is Sean going to see the transparent, see the PowerPoint? No way, because he's sitting on a wheelchair. I walk away right away to him and say, come up in the front, Sean. Okay, this is our member. Can you imagine if our guests come in with a wheelchair and we just ignore them and let them sit there, next week they will not come back. Because we don't treat the handicaps in the right way. You see what I walk to Makoto right away and say, Makoto, make sure when Pastor Dick Mill walk through this door, open the door for him to come in. I don't want this gentleman, this pastor, walk around the building and come in his way. I even call Victor, go out, make sure that the parking for the handicap is open for him because he is not, I don't want him to walk from far away. We don't really have a team of parking out there, the parking team, to help people to park. Actually, we should have. We should have, you drive to the church, the first impression, any welcome me, how am I going to park? All this feeling, you know, one church, they even have a free what you call that parking for people? Valet parking for all the elderly, all the senior citizens. They try to make sure that everyone come and have positive impression to the church and want to come to know Jesus. You know why it's so important? Many people may not come back to the church even though the pastor preached under anointing. Because even before the pastor got up to preach, the husband and the wife already look at each other's eyes and say, I'm not coming back here. We are not coming back here. I'm not talking about our church here. I'm talking about in general that people may not want to come back because just the first impression they walk in, they feel it already. Something going on. You know what? Most visitors are not spiritual. Do you know what? Most non-believers and even Christian guests are not looking for the Holy Spirit. They are moved and they are influenced by what they see, what they smell, what they hear, and so forth. Last Saturday night, when I walk into the male restroom here, I have to come out and talk to Lorena. Make sure tomorrow, no smell like this. Lorena, you remember? Because it's so strong in that room on Saturday night. And I was thinking right away, I walk in, washing my hand. Ooh, tomorrow if the guests come in and they smell like this in that restroom, they may not come back. They say, if you cannot even take care of your restroom, your men room in here, how are you going to take care of me? Now I start to pay attention to all this detail. I think the Holy Spirit begin to deal with me as a pastor that, son, do you want more people to join your church? Do you want to grab more non-believers to come and get saved? Now you need to fix all this problem. You need to tell your people to do everything the best you can. We are serious about the kingdom of God. We're serious about growing the kingdom of God. We're going to do everything, including, you know, the floor, the carpet, everything. And I'm going to show you in a minute here. I'm not talking about my own idea. This is in the Bible. I can give you example. You know, people are influenced or impacted by their five senses. What are their five senses? Sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. I remember the first time Pastor Rodney invited me to have dinner with him in his church. When I walk in, I almost collapse. Candlelight, the best soup, the best punch, best cook. I walk in and I was eating his food and say, this man really know the Bible. He really do the best for God. He did not give junk to me. He did not give anything below. You know, he gave the best to the guests. He made me impressed with his seriousness about ministry. You understand? And God provide him with money anyway to do it. I show you in the scripture. Actually, this scripture really convicted me. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 4. The queen of Sheba came to see King Solomon's bearing. She came with great gifts. And she came with skepticism that he really, really rich and full of glory and full of wisdom or not. She kind of come and check him out. How many people think that a lot of guests come into our church and want to check us out? How who we are and how we treat our God in this house. How we worship God and how we really honor God in this house. I think a lot of guests come and want to check us out. The same thing like Queen of Sheba. And look at what happened that affected her so much. That's why I said this lesson really convict a pastor like me. And I hope that I'm going to make sure that every servant in this church listen to this CD. Because I believe it's important to hear this message. In 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 4, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, even the seating, the chair of his servant, the service of his waiters, even the usher, the service, okay? And their apparel. Do I say it right? Apparel. Apparel. His cupbearers and their apparel. In other words, apparel. Do I say it right? It's a difficult word for me, I'm sorry. Apparel. The way they serve, the way they dress, their body language, and his entryway, mean the building, by which he went up to the house of the Lord. So when she saw all these things, the Bible says there was no more spirit in her. In other words, I see the picture of Queen of Sheba walk into the building of King Solomon and observe the archer, the PowerPoint team, the worship team, the greeter team, and walk in and she look and she like, wow! This is amazing. Now, I believe the rumor. I believe the report that this king really great and he really honor his God. It's something here. God is here. You understand what I mean? We need to come out from get by, getting by mentality. We need to come out from sloppy mentality. We need to do the best for God. Everything. And you know, I want to say this. In any single church, everything starts from leadership. Is that right? If leadership come to church late, believe me, people will come to church late. If leadership did not want to listen to the sermon, member will not listen to the sermon. Do you notice one thing? Last Sunday, I show my body language. When Pastor Dick Mill and when Judah was speaking up there, I say, Amen. I was sitting like this, actually. If you watch me carefully, I sit like this. Amen. Yes, Amen. You know what? I show to the congregation as a leader that I'm really excited about the word. I'm excited about the ministry that the Holy Spirit is doing up there. I'm not kind of, what else? Because everything needs to come from the leadership. If the leadership does not raise hand to worship, the leadership is not excited about worship, forget about new believers and members and even the guests. The guests walk in, look at all of us, they can be kind of, so what? They will not be impressed and they will not want our God. Because we don't want to excel for our God. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the heart. Amen? So people need to see leader come on time or come before time, praising and worshiping God, get excited about the word. When the preacher preach, amen. You know, when Pastor Adonica chair Wednesday, she came up and chair after I gave testimony. She called Pastor Rodney, called Pastor Adonica up to talk that she, even though she was with Pastor Rodney for many years, as his wife, she never had the laughter until one day she determined to have a laughter and she got it because she determined. You say, can you imagine? She live with the man, but she knew. And when she come up and chair, I was sitting there and say, amen, amen to her. Or she was so happy because somebody amen with her. Somebody really encouraged her. You see what I mean? We need to show that kind of attitude and we lead people by action, by doing something, showing our enthusiasm and zeal before the Lord. Look at this scripture one more time. The Bible says, the service of his waiters and their apparel. So first thing I want to talk about is apparel. Our clothing, our dress, our outward appearance. You may hear people say like this, oh, we need to be like the world so that they will come to join us. If they dress that way, we need to dress like them. It sounds very good, but I don't agree. They will not seek our God if we don't have something better to offer them. If we are like them, we act like them, we dress like them. They may join us for a while, but they will not want our God. But if we are better in our, you know, appearance and how we take care of our body, you know, the clothes washed, the hair, dental floss, wash your teeth every 6 months by the dentist. Make sure you clean your teeth. Everything, you take care of your appearance, your action, your attitude, everything that people can see. If they see that you are better, you are more joyful, you're happy, you are more, you know, better than them, they say, I want something like this. I want to be better like you. Is that right? But if you're the same like them, they will say, so what? I don't need to change. I don't need your God. You and I the same level. But we need to dress in the, put the clothes on that honor God. I'm not saying that you have to be expensive clothes or, you know, $2,000 clothing. No. I'm talking about dress that honor God and really show that we take serious about God. Amen?
Amen.
You win people that way. Amen? How many people agree with me that 85% of the first impression come through the word called body language? Is that right?
Yes.
I want to tell you, one of the reason I'm so successful in my practice, not because actually I speak with sometime with to, last night I didn't sleep all night. I was having big surgery, emergency. So today my accent was very thick when I was speaking to my patient because I was la 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 la. My brain didn't work very well. So I was, and sometimes my patient kind of look at me, what you say again? Because I was so tired that I could not control my tongue to speak better in English, in the you know, better accent. But you know, one thing is that the first impression. All of my patients love me because when I walk into the room, hi, how are you? And so glad to see you. And I sit down and smile. And where do you sleep? You know, where is your home? And I build relationship first. After a while, they feel relaxed. And when they start to share about, oh, my husband just passed away, my face will change and, oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry. You know, the body language, I may not be able to speak a lot like American doctor, but my body language show love and concern, and they like to come back to me. And they go out and tell everybody, go to see this doctor because of the first impression. So the same thing in our church. The first impression is our body language. When people walk into the church, they need to see the difference in our church, that we are different from the world. The Queen of Sheba said like this in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 5 to 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 5 to 6. It was a true report, which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw with my own eyes. What is that? First impression. My own eyes I saw. And indeed, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You exceed the fame of which I heard. Wow, I like people in Seattle and all over the world talk about our church that way. I heard about your reputation. But when I came to visit your church, oh, what I heard is not even half of what I see. Oh, the worship team is so awesome. Amen. Oh, your greeter standing at the door, smiling, happy, and very joyful and full of anointing. And when I grab their hand, I feel the anointing come over your hand, and I feel I got healed even before the service when I walk in the room. Oh, when your preacher come up, oh, the preaching is so anointed and the Holy Spirit is moving. Oh, the room is so clean. The chair is so well arranged. And, you know, the food in your lunchtime is so excellent. Best food in the world. You know what I mean? And people should say the same thing to your care group. When they come to your care group, they should say the same thing. Woo, the report. Do we as a church have a bad report or good report to society? I really appreciate Millard and Phil that have done the excellent job for the website. So when people turn on the website, they say, wow, this church must be something. Look at the website. Is this good? Can you imagine? I need to go and check it out. Is that right? Because they're just first impression. And then picture of Pastor Cesar and Brendan come up. You know, like, you know, this first impression is so important. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Body language, the thing that people see. I want our church to have good report. And not only good report, and real report, that everyone that come into this in this city come to visit our church. I pray that one day people even fly from other country to come and check us out. To see what is going on in this church. Have good reputation. And then when they come, they go back home and say, yes, it's real. Wow. That Sunday school. Neat. Great program. Our kids love it. Last night, I invited a nurse to come to our church. You know, God gave me the Holy Spirit told me while I was closing the skull, closing the wound, taking the clot out from the brain. God said, speak to this man like this. Rodney, I think I'm so impressed with my kids that they grow up in the church. You know, one day they repent and they, you know, God spoke to them and they come to say sorry to their mom. Wow, I pay off that I raised my kids in the church with the good moral. I say like this, good moral. How old is your kid? 3 and 1. Rodney, I think you should invest. Bring your kids to church. I give you the card and come. Your kids need to grow up in the church. He say, really? Oh, good, good. He's Filipino. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to talk to my wife. You see? But at the same time, when he show up, he need to be, he look at our children program. Wow! I want to come back. I'm going to go to tell my 10 Filipinos friend to come back to this church. It's great program here. Wonderful children program. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to excel everything, do the best we can to make everyone come and say, good report. And who gets the glory? God gets, Jesus gets the glory. Amen. I tell you one thing, report, fuel curiosity. Is that right? When people hear the report, I want to go there to check it out. So can we set this, we make this decision that from now on, everything we do, we're going to do the best. In fact, I have to admit that after I come back from Lakewood Church in Houston, I came back with a very good feeling. I am still have that good feeling because I remember when I drive into their parking, the usher was stand two parking attendant standing there, welcome me, go down, and you are Pastor Lau. We take you to this room, and when we walk in the choir, they have about 100 people in the choir. The choir, were you there with us? The choir was standing in the line to come into the church. They have to come in the back door. I tell you a story. So we were going in the back door to get to sit in the front. So when we were standing in the back foyer to get into the back door of the church, all the choir was standing there ready to go up to stand on the stage. They were lining up. When we walk in, all the choir turns to us, and a few of them come and shake us our hand. Where you come from? So good to have you here. Blah 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 blah. And we were like, who? People here so friendly, so happy. Now I see the leadership of Pastor Joe Austin. So good that he trained his people well. Can we have that kind of church? The people walk in, everyone happy. Oh, it's so good to see you here. Instead of walking around like, oh, I've been my own business today. I'm busy, I'm tired. When the church is going to get done, I'm going to go home. No. We're going to greet people. We're going to be happy people here. Greet people, excited to see God, to Amen. Meet God and meet people like that church.
Amen.
Do you agree that you have good impression? Very good impression. Just the way. You know, I believe they study from the same lesson I study here. So they go beyond us for many years. We just start to get this lesson into our church. Amen. Actually, I produced this in Thai too. I already done this lesson. So I'm going to send to Thailand. The church in Thailand is going to do the same thing. Amen. So, many times we misunderstand that the church is going to grow because of the good preaching. No. It's not about only good preaching. Yes, as a preacher, I will do my best to prepare my preaching, my sermon, the way I deliver the message, everything. I will do my best, excel in what I do. I may not be the best in the world, but at least I excel the best I can do. Okay? That's my job. But if you notice carefully, the Queen of Sheba was touched by one thing, not only about their apparel and their outward appearance, but also their attitude. Look at this. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 7. Are you excited? Are you enjoying this lesson?
Yes.
Are you, God, is God speaking to you?
Yes.
Amen. So get this CD and share with your team, with your member. Amen. And maybe discuss in your care group. I think this is a good one. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 7. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Wow. The Queen of Sheba was really touched by the attitude of King Solomon's servant. What kind of attitude they have?
Happy.
Depressed? Feel like a burden? Feel like a job, feel like a dragging their feet, No, they were happy. Is that right? They were smiling, happy, excited, happy to be there. Amen. Can we do that for God? That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the joy of the Holy Spirit is our strength. When we feel with the joy of God, we're going to be happy all the time. Is that right?
Yes.
I think that's why God gives the joy to the church.
Amen.
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 So that we can be happy servant instead of being depressed servant or sad servant. We're going to be happy people. No matter what circumstance happen around us, we're still happy.
Amen.
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 I don't know about you. One thing I know is that I'm really serious about building the church and serving the Lord. I'm really serious. I'm not playing game. I'm not here to play game. I'm not here to just have nothing else better to do. But I'm really serious about building the kingdom of God. So I'm going to do anything to build the kingdom of God. I'm going to follow what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I want to share with you two kinds of churches, just to give you some imagination. The first church, the visitor walk into the door, the greeter have a long face and shake hand and point the visitor, say, go sit in the front there, because in the back here is our seat. We want to avoid the pastor. He's going to lay hand on us. So sit in the front. And normally the visitor want to sit in the back because they don't want to be obvious. Not only that, the visitor say, where can I put my kids? I don't know what room, you know. You just check it out in the back, some room there, you know. So when the visitor take their kids to the nursery room, the nursery worker come and meet the pastor. I don't know, meet the visitor, not the pastor. Meet the visitor. Okay, this is a form. About 2 pages, you need to sign in with your blood first, and then we take care. Oh, by the way, we do this for a favor for you, that we take care of your kids, okay? Please make sure you come pick your kids on time, okay? So the visitor, this couple, walk back into the room. Then they notice that all 6 days of the week, the back wall of the building was standing there without any problem. But for some reason on Sunday, there were about 10 leaders and usher trying to support the wall by putting their shoulder on the wall and standing up there in the back of the room and chit-chat and talk in the back of the room, and did not even pay attention to the sermon or to the worship time. They just chit-chat and walk around and don't care about the meeting at all. So the visitor walk in and watch, notice that, oh, leaders in this church are trying to hold up the back wall of the church. After 6 days, it didn't fall down, but on Sunday, somebody had to back it up, hold it up. Then the worship leader come up on the stage and say, oh, I'm glad you're all here. You know, I'm kind of tired. I'm going to lead worship quickly so that we can move on to go to see football game. I believe that by this time, the couple look at each other's eyes and say, I don't need to listen to the sermon. I'm not going to come back here. That is the first church. But the second church, what happened? Well, not only that, I forget one thing. So the couple walk in and look for the back seat because they don't want to be obvious in the church. They don't want to be evident. So they sit in the back of the church, on the 2 seats in the back. Then some members and some leaders who come to church late walk in and look at this couple and say, this is my seat last Sunday. And this leader make a dirty look. My seat. You think that church going to grow?
No.
Okay, that is the first church. But look at the second church. The second church, The visitor walk in, a husband and wife and 2 kids walk in. The greeter stand at the door in praying and in tune with God and smile. Hi, how are you? So glad to see you. You want your kids to go to the Sunday school? Let me greet the usher and take you there. Okay. The usher come by and say, oh, I will take care of you. Go there. I will introduce you to the usher, to the nursery worker. The nursery worker say, oh, we assure you, your kid gonna have a good time here. We will take care. Don't worry. You enjoy the service. We are happy to serve you. And then they walk out. And they notice that everyone was standing, smiling, worshiping God. And when they walk in, the members say, "Hi, sit here, sit. Oh, you have this great seat? Go ahead." Everyone was worshiping. Everyone was happy. And the worship leader come up and say, "Oh, God is here today. We're going to have a great service. Today, God is with us. Today, God is going to bless you." By that time, they don't even listen to the preaching yet. They say, "I come back next Sunday." Amen. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, a lot of time people think that this our job should be done by the pastor. The pastor and the wife, his wife, is not the body of Christ. He's a servant of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is us, all of us. And the job of the pastor is to train you. The Bible says that to train you to do the work of ministry. My job as a pastor is to train you to do the work of the ministry. You know what is the work of the ministry? I want to conclude in only one word, in two words, in two phrases. The work of the ministry, in conclusion, winning souls and showing people how to live in the kingdom of God. So, whether you are ushers, greeters, Sunday school, worshipper, PowerPoint, sound system, whatever you do in the church, your job is to enhance the winning of souls and helping people to know how to live for the kingdom of God. So it's about people. Is that right? So, let's make a decision that from today on, we will be the kind of ministry of helps, the kind of servant of God, that we're going to show our outward appearance, how we dress, our attitude. Lately, God has been dealing with Pastor Da and I and me one issue. He said to us that it's so easy to be judgmental. It's so easy to look at people and then judge them. And look at all the negative things about them. You know, when you think negative about people, you cannot smile. You cannot love people. You tend to kind of stay away. And God deal with us that don't look at the negative things about people. Just look at the positive thing and love people. Your job is to love people. So in the past few weeks, we make that decision. When people walk into the church, we look at them. Feel positive. We want to greet them. We want to smile at them. We want to hug them. We feel like everything is positive because we think positively. It's an attitude issue. Is that right? And I believe that if we can do all, if we can excel in everything we do in the church, God is going to bless us with more people. Amen. We're going to have more people come in. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think that's one of the reasons I want all of you to get the joy of the Lord. Laughter, holy laughter. Because your face is going to be different. You're going to be happy all the time, smiling all the time. The joy of the Holy Spirit will be on your face all the time. You know, God, people walking to church, they want to join us because they see the joy on your face. You're not sad people. Amen?
Amen.
So, I believe that this lesson really speaks to you. So, this is what we're going to do in our church. We're going to do everything the best we can.
Amen.
We're going to keep improving in every ministry. Do everything like to the King of all kings. Better than do it into human precedent.
Amen.
Can we do like that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
When I went to Disneyland, I noticed that everything they did it so well. Everything. No, from the front door, go in there, everything, excellent. And that, you know, that is the business. But we do the business of God. We should do even better than them. Everything we do. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why don't we pray and then if you have any question we can ask later on, or we have you have any comment, we pray. I will stop here and go to the next lesson next time. Or maybe I can preach on Sunday too. Some of this lesson, I think the whole membership need to hear some of this lesson. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word and your love for us, Lord. We believe, Father, that you want to speak to all of us and you want to build your church through us, Father. Lord, you do your part already by sending your son to suffer and die on the cross. Lord, we don't want to take your kingdom for granted. We don't want to take our salvation for granted. Many people out there, Father, are going to hell and they don't know you yet. And you put us here. You set us up to be a light and the salt of the world. Father, I want to see the same thing happen in the house of King Solomon happen here. That as we excel in everything we do, you will provide us with enough finances to do the job. Not that we focus on money, Father, but we want to focus on honoring you and saving the lost souls.
Amen.
Father, help this church, which is the first generation church. We are full of first generation Christians here who don't understand about the kingdom very well yet. But we are still growing and learning. Father, I believe that this lesson will bring the revolution, the changes in our church. And we will work together as a team in the church, Father. Help us, Father. Anoint your people in this church with your Holy Spirit. Give them, Lord, the zeal, the hunger, the desire, the strong desire to build your church. And do the best they can, Father, in everything they do for you. And you shall bless them indeed. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.